Okay, probably have time for one last set. So, lady here, gentleman there, and there's one more lady here.
Hi there, I'm Maureen McClure and I come from the south of Glasgow, and I'm a patient, I'm a carer, and I've helped quite a lot of people in regards to complications. But what I'm wondering about is, now when it comes to assessments for young people, assessments as a carer, there seems to be quite a few hiccups and complications and errors in people understanding who people are. And it goes by people's, now what they're allowed to do is from the social, education and social, is mimic it. Now chat to themselves in a little wee group and give their opinion of someone's life rather than getting to know the person themselves. So what we want to stop is the now too many errors, and it's like contaminations that are happening to too many people that are people, important people, and it brings them down, especially when young people need early intervention and they don't get it because maybe CAMHS haven't got now enough space, there's too many people waiting on the list. And then it leads on to a parent being assessed, which that usually gets changed into whatever someone thinks of them rather than what the, who they really are. And what I've noticed is it leads on to like letters, reports, going from one party to another without the involvement of the parent or the young individual, and then it ends up, it's taken from different angles of approach, and it leads on to delays in what that person needs for help, and leads on errors in what maybe the parent needs to support, and then it ends up someone being guided the wrong direction. What we need to look into, how do the people feel being in our shoes? Now, like in our feeling now, how does it feel being a parent, caring for a person, going through different stages in life? How does it feel as a, now like individuals, workers from different angles, and how does it feel with older people? But what I want to make sure that there's more equality, more data protection, more positiveness in a good way for everyone being respected. And actually we're all working together to understand what some person needs, not what someone think that they need. So we need to stop opinions and judgments being now like into people, because usually that's what happens if someone in authority or someone under NHS, someone in social writes a letter or a report about an individual and it isn't even the truth about them, it ends up causing contamination in that person's individual life, and what they have to do is lead with misconduct and slander, and then it can lead on to further issues, like someone end up in more mental health issues rather than being accepted and it now helped. Okay. So what can we do about that?
Okay, thank you for that question. I'll say something about that in a second. We'll take the other two first though. Yep.
Thank you, good afternoon. My name's Martin Bartis, I'm a city councillor in the Partick West area of Glasgow, and I'm formerly also a clinician, a doctor working in Glasgow. I think that all of us would accept that at the most acute times of our lives or the lives of those that we care for, the most important thing is that there is a bed available for people who need inpatient care, and that there are staff, both doctors and nursing staff, available to treat them. And so my questions for both Scottish Government representatives and the Health Board relate to beds and staffing. The backdrop of this is clearly that we have a new large hospital, which also the development of which resulted in the movement of all mental health beds away from the Southern General site and the reduction of mental health beds in that area. And I wonder whether or not the Scottish Government has a view on the occupancy rates of our acute hospitals and any bed ratios for population, and whether or not they feel that there is a way of measuring robust modelling by health boards in general. And turning to the health board, I wonder whether or not Dr. Armstrong might be able to help us understand about occupancy and the value of occupancy and monitoring it. And finally, on staffing, whether or not there are any difficulties with unfilled posts and issues around recruitment, particularly of medical staff, because anecdotally I hear that there are posts no longer being advertised which are unfilled, and that then leads us back to Scottish Government, whether or not Scottish Government regard an unfilled post which is not advertised as being a suitable way for a board to make savings. Because in the commercial sector, it's not uncommon for posts which have vacancies to suddenly turn into savings, and clearly for a public health service that carries issues.
Okay. Lady here.
Hello, my name's Anne Hughes. I'm here and I would like to address Shona Robinson, please, is regarding what's come out in this meeting, and then that is regarding prescriptions within the Centre of Integrative Care, but not also that, it also addresses coming from other areas of medicine that's not recognised within the National Health Service. Patients are being made to pay for prescriptions. They are on low incomes. They are chronic sick. They are needing medication. This has been denied. Now, I have actually taken this over about 3 years, brought it on up here, and what is coming out basically is a lack of communication. There is receptionists looking at the prescription, saying it's private, not even addressing the doctor. They are making assumptions, like this young lady says. There is a lack of communication in the way that things are handled, and it's not only there, but throughout. My daughter was in hospital. Her medication was actually locked in a cupboard and only given to her when she came out of hospital. This is actually happening quite a lot. And people who are there have actually asked to be there, referred, and therefore giving medication, and it's been denied. Now, I can also bring up, I lost my husband. I've got allergies. I have took medication from the normal way. I finished up actually battering my head against the wall. I went to the Centre of Integrative Care and I put my hands up to them. I have been to courses, these courses available, and anybody can be referred to them, not just patients within that organisation or that centre of the National Health Service. It comes through the National Health Service, and this is a WELL programme. I have been through the three stages of that after getting to a set part within my health, and I take my hat off to you. This has been a wonderful experience for me, and I thank you as well. It's actually put the finance into this. Thank you very much.
Okay, and I'll certainly look at the issue of prescriptions. Robert Calderwood said something about that earlier on in some detail, but I'll certainly go take that away to look at it. In terms of Martin's point about occupancy rates are monitored across our services, and we need to obviously make sure that we, as you said, have enough inpatient beds to meet the needs of the population. But we also, and this is a big, big focus going forward, we need to try and prevent people going into hospital in the first place. And if you need to be in an acute hospital bed, absolutely, that's where you will go. But I think it's fair to say that there are still too many people who are ending up in an acute hospital bed when they don't need to be there. And that's why we've got a real focus on primary care and developing alternatives like step-up, step-down beds, particularly for people who need a maybe assessment or a bit of TLC, but what they don't need is an acute hospital bed. So that's an area that we're really focusing on at the moment. And Maureen, there's a carers bill going through Parliament at the moment, looking to strengthen the rights of carers. I hear what you're saying about listening to the carer, and young carers in particular need to be listened to, and a lot of work has gone on around that, and I can assure you that Jamie Hepburn, who's the minister taking forward the carers bill, has been listening very much to the views of young carers and carers in general around these issues. Do you want to?
I think the one point that we might follow up on is that last one, and Katrina, would you like to respond?
I'm Katrina Redd from the Director of Planning at the Health Board. I think there was a lot in what you said, and Cabinet Secretary has highlighted the huge importance of assessment, including carers, and national work underway. I think the points I would make in terms of the local situation is obviously integrating health and social care is going to enable us to bring together much more around the person and their family the way that we do assessment without that kind of health, social care, different ways of doing assessments, different people involved. So we certainly see that as a huge benefit of the integration of health and social care. I think you also touched on waiting times for child and adolescent mental health. That's been a huge issue right across Scotland. I think the chairman highlighted in his presentation the progress we've made to reduce waiting times, but I think we're still very conscious that there's still a real gap in service sometimes for child and adolescent mental health and the ability to respond to urgent needs. So I think we hear what you're saying. I think the integration of health and social care, the National Carers Bill, and the work we're doing locally on waiting times should hopefully see some improvement in the areas you've been concerned about.
Okay. Well, I'll just pick up on some of the points that were made about bed staffing, mental health services, occupancy and unfilled posts. If I start with mental health, the board and the mental health unit that used to be at what is now the Queen Elizabeth University Hospital campus, that was a 1900s building that the board took a decision to build new facilities for the South West catchment population. And we had two options in order to take that forward. One was to incorporate the South West Glasgow mental health unit within the redevelopment of the campus. And the second option, which was a rather unique situation where the South East Glasgow Mental Health Service was based at Levendale in the South West, a geographical quirk, that we would bring the two services and create a single South Glasgow Mental Health Service within the grounds of Levendale Hospital. The board chose that option and we built the new beds and the new units within Levendale as part of our approved mental health strategy. And that allowed us to take that development forward out with the timetable for the new hospital, but of a standard that the mental health colleagues had recommended. So that was a very conscious decision to A, build new mental health facilities, but also take the opportunity to bring the South Glasgow service together into a single service based on Levendale in the South West. With regard to beds and staffing, if I take staffing first, if you look at the ISD stats, which were published, I think, just last week on medical staffing, you'll see that Greater Glasgow and Clyde has the highest number of senior medical staff pro rata to the population within the Scottish Health Service, and the Scottish Health Service has the highest ratio of medical and trained nursing staff to per head of the population in the UK. And you'll also see within that that Greater Glasgow and Clyde has the lowest percentage of unfilled posts. And when you look at the number of those posts that have been unfilled for greater than 3 months, it is a very small proportion. So there is absolutely no gaming on unfilled posts as part of a financial strategy. Indeed, we actively discourage our directors or anybody else to look at vacancies as part of our overall financial management. A, it is not a sustainable basis in planning for financial break-even, but also it puts a lot of unintended consequences into the system. So our view at the moment is that we have agreed staffing levels set out against workload norms, and that within Greater Glasgow and Clyde, those funded establishments are provided to the clinical teams, and we are quite successful to date in recruiting. But the point you were making about unfilled vacancies, that is a new phenomenon in Glasgow. In my time in Glasgow, we have gone from never having a vacancy, because working in the city in the major teaching institutions was always seen as a positive thing. So we tended to take from adjacent boards, and therefore Glasgow would usually have its post filled. But in some specialties now, Scotland is in a competition not within Scotland but across the UK. So some of our vacancies in the hard to fill categories are in very nationally specialist areas, in paediatric neonatal intensive care, in neurology, which is a shortage specialty across the United Kingdom. And in relation to those specialties, we're working with the National Education Scotland with regard to how we identify appropriate training programmes within Scotland so that the next generation of doctors coming through can be steered into these posts. Turning to beds, as the Cabinet Secretary said, that there is a very detailed review of beds on a regular basis. Our own bed model is driven by a series of factors, relatively well known. We have a target in the bed model. You have a target occupancy of 85%. It's predicated in historical demand, which is in our bed model averaged over the previous 3 years. So it's iterative. It's run every year on a 3-year rolling average. And it also takes into account an expected length of stay. And that expected length of stay is driven by looking at our peer institutions, not only within Scotland, but across comparable populations within the UK, but most significantly, in the variance between our own hospitals. So if you look at our target length of stay within our bed model, some of the units within Glasgow are achieving it, others are not. Now, that's not to say the ones that are not achieving it, that isn't driven by the needs of the individual patients and the clinical decisions taken. But the model is generated by those factors, and as it stands at the moment, it is fair to say that in making the moves over the recent months, we have been looking at the bed model again as part of our thinking for going into 2016-17 and beyond.
Okay. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're out of time, I'm afraid. If there's anybody who didn't get to ask a question, I'm going to ask Tabitha, who works in my office. We see Tabitha here. If you can approach Tabitha or someone from the board, we will get a note of your question and we'll get a written reply back to you. We've tried to take as many questions as possible, and I think we got through most of them. But I want to end by just a big, big thank you to all of you. It's been a good turnout. It's very important that we have a good turnout for these events so that you can question the board, you can hear what they've got to say, and you can hear some of the comments I've got to make as well. But I really, really appreciate you coming along. I hope you found it an interesting and valuable experience, and hope to see some of you back here next year. So thank you, and safe journey home. Thank you.